The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph. Today's Daf is being studied. The Anu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tanihanu Begar Eden, Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Miki Ben Jamie, Edna Refanalom, Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf, Urfuat Toker Ubalabo Vechen Yerasuvan Amar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Lamed Amud Bet. We are up to the Tanu Rabbanan, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from where they get wide. The Gemara begins Tanu Rabbanan. Ma'im shenitgalu hareze lo yishachem b'shut harabim. So we learned on yesterday's daf that we have an isur of gilui. That means one is not allowed to leave, for example, water uncovered, because we're concerned that a snake might come in and put its venom in the water, and therefore it's going to be poisonous. So certainly one can't drink it. So now the brightness is other things that one person cannot do with this water that we suspect has the venom of a snake in it. So one of the things is you cannot pour it into the Shut HaRabim. Why not? So Rashi says, "Lo yishavchem shem miyavur adam yachef," because we're concerned that maybe somebody's going to walk barefoot. V'yamod ha'eres ben kishtes be'otav. And what's going to happen if he's walking barefoot? The water is going to enter through his feet. V'chemat shenichnas me'at v'nokim be'basar. It's going to penetrate the flesh. V'shuv en lo refuah, and he's not going to have a refuah. So again, it's an inyan of sakana. V'lo yerbitz pahem et abayit. Harbatzat abayit means when they used to want to keep the dust down so it doesn't go all over the house, they would pour water on the floor to weight it down. So the Gemara says you should not use this water. Why? For the same reason. Because you're concerned that people will walk in the house barefoot and the poisonous water will go and enter them through their feet. Ve'lo yigabel bahem et tatit. Nor should you make cement or tar out of it. Why? Because when you're making the gibul, when you're making the cement, you need your hands to make it into a dough. So what's going to happen? The water is going to go through the pores of your fingers, and therefore it's going to be poisonous. It's going to be sakana. Ve'lo yashke mehem lo behemto ve'lo behemat havero. Nor can you give it to your animal to drink, nor can you give it to your friend's animal to drink. Now it goes without saying, if you tell me that you can't give it to your own animal because it is sakana, so certainly you cannot give it to your friend's animal. Tosfot says it's zu ve'en tzadik lomar zu, which means what you tell me the first case, it's obviously you don't have to tell me the second case, but that's the style of the Mishnah to say both cases. So again, you cannot give it to the animals for the simple reason that you're concerned that what? Not only are you going to kill the animal, the concern is that you might slaughter the animal afterwards. If it's a kosher animal, you're going to slaughter the animal and eat the meat. It's got poison in its system, and that meat's going to be poisonous now. So therefore you have a concern, and therefore it's going to be asur to give it to the animal. It's mashma over here, according to this, that if you're going to give it to an animal that's not suitable for shechita, it should be permissible. Because there's no suspicion that you're going to come and eat it. That's what the Mefarshim point out. But again, stam, why would a guy give it to his animal if he doesn't want to kill the animal? Anyway, v'lo yirchatz b'em panav yadav v'raglav. To that matter, we should not use this water to wash himself. His panav, his face, yadav v'raglav. Same reason. Concern is it might enter the pores of the body, and as a result, poisonous, and it's going to cause him sakana. Ahadim omrim. So we have the second shita, ahadim. They come along and say, makom shiyesh sirta asur. Which means, where there's an opening, where there's cracks on the body, that's where it's asur to use this water. And sirta mutar, but on the flat parts of the body, where there's no crevices and there's no cracks, it's going to be mutar. Now, seemingly, Ahirim is saying the same thing as Tarakama. What did Tarakama say? He's worried it might enter through the hands, because again, you have the openings, you have the face, it has openings, the legs, the feet has openings. So Harim sounds like he's just defining Tanakamai. He says the same exact Shita. Only when it's cracks, when it's openings, you can't use this water. Because we're worried that the water might go in. But if there's no cracks, it's Mutar. So the Gemara is, Harim Ainu Tanakama. What's Harim coming to add? Or to say different than Tanakama said? Now she says, Ainu Tanakama, deha panim yad veregil, yesham petahim vestakim. Exactly what Tanakama said, the face, the hands and the feet, they have openings in Christ. Kimo bin etzbal as well, in between the fingers of the toes. In the palm as well, yesh takim. There's also cracks in the palm itself. And for that matter, on the face, ba'ozim basfatayim, the lips, the ears. So Gemara says, ika binayu, there is enough coming out between the two shittot. Gav hayad, that's the outer part, the outside of the top of the hand. Ve'gav aregel, the outer part of the foot, the romane de ape. Romane de ape would be the cheeks. So therefore, Rashi says, romane de ape, pumilia, shil panim, ashil etzela ayin. Next to the eyes. You would not be able to wash yourself with that. The encham sedek. There's no cracks over there without hayrim, shari. Which means, according to the second shita, over here, where there's no cracks over it, smooth, according to Achadim Bimutar, because according to Tanakama, he said, Panav Yadav Raglav, Panav is including the whole face. So it'll be enough Kamina in certain areas of the face, and on the Gaba Yad, where according to Tanakama, it's going to be Asur, because he said Yadayim Veraglayim. He didn't make a difference between the top part of the hand or the bottom part of the hand, and according to the Achadim, it's going to be Mutar, because he said only a place where there is Sedakim, only a place where there is actually cracks. Okay, that's the first din over there. Amar Mor. Gemara now quotes from the Braita that we just said. Lo yeshke mehem lo beim tov lo beim at chavero. You cannot give this water that was subject to gilui. You cannot give it not to your animal and not to your friend's animal. Ve'atanya aval mashkehu de beim at atzmo. We have a Braita that says you can't give it to your animal, this water. That means we're not suspicious of this problem. Gemara says, "Kitanya hi leshunra." When we say give it to your animal, it's not like give it to your cat. So Gemara says, "Cat, smashwa." The cat is not concerned about poison. The cat's system can handle the poison. So therefore, when we say you give it to your animal, we meant giving it to your cat. So Gemara says, "Iache dehavre name." So if that's the case, why did it say only your cat? You should be able to give it to your friend's cat as well. Gemara says, "Dehavre kachish." Now, if you give it to your friend's cat, listen, it might not kill it, but it's going to weaken it temporarily. So the Gemara says, weaken it. Well, your cat also is going to get weak. So just like it's going to weaken your cat, the cat will get better, so you should be able to give it to your friend's cat. The Gemara says, no. Hadar bari. Exactly. The Gemara says, it'll get better. So your cat will get better. So your cat will get better, your friend's cat will get better also. Your friend's cat will also get better. Which means the Gemara is trying to say, what's the difference? Why the Gemara is telling me only your cat you can give it to, and you can't give it to your friend's cat? Whatever's going to happen to your cat's going to happen to your friend's cat. Just like your cat's going to get better eventually, so you give it to your friend's cat also, it'll get better. The Gemara says, Zimnin deba'el zibuna. Sometimes your friend's going to want to sell the cat immediately. But what? Umafsid le, meaning he's going to cause, you're going to cause him a loss. Why? Because you're going to have to drop the price. Because you gave the kid, the cat was thirsty. So you fed him this water. What happened? It was poison in the water. Granted, it's not going to kill the cat. The cat's body is able to handle the poison. But what? Let's say that your friend at that time was looking to sell the cat. Yeah, he has a customer. The customer sees the cat. Cat is sick. So he has to drop the price. So therefore you're going to cause your friend a loss. Granted, it's going to get better eventually. But right now, at the time of the sale, you cause your friend a hefsed. On your cat, do whatever you want. What do I care? It's your cat. You're causing yourself a hefsed if that's your prerogative to do. But you cannot do it to your friend. So that's the Gemara's understanding. Now the Gemara goes on to a new point. Amar Rav Aseh Amar Rav Yohanan Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Ben Betera Shelosha Yenot Hen. There are three types of wine that have different halachot. First wine is yayin nesech. That's wine that mamash was used for the avodah zarah. That's not stam. Stam is, we don't know what the status is. This is mamash yayin nesech, where they took the wine Goyim, and we are certain that they poured it and they used it as a libation for Avodah Zarah. This wine, the Gemara says, Asur Behana'ah. That Asur Hana'ah is Asur Behana'ah Minat Torah. Torah says you're not allowed to have this type of wine. Not only drink it, ingest it, but it's also Asur to have Hana'ah from it, any benefit. Now the Hadush of the Gemara is Umetameh Tum'ah Hamurah Bekezayit. And this wine, the rabbis put a tum'ah on it. They treat it like tum'ah hamura. What is tum'ah hamura? Strict tum'ah. That she says that that's referring to masa ve'oil kemet. Amazing. They treated this yayin nesek like a corpse. And just like if a corpse is in a house. And anybody in the house with the corpse becomes tameh, even if you didn't touch the corpse. Even if you have tum'at masa, you carried the corpse or moved it without even touching it, it exudes tum'ah. So it says, so too yayin nesek has a deen of corpse tum'ah. And therefore, it's metameh, and the Gemara says it's metameh the shi'ur of a kizayit. The kizayit worth of the yayin nesek. Now, usually when it comes to liquid, we usually say that tum'ah is a rivi'it. We don't usually use kezayit. Kezayit usually is a measure that's used in dry items, like food stuff, but not necessarily liquid. Why over here then would we say the shi'ur for tum'ah is a kezayit? So Rashi alludes to that when he says, in the last line of Rashi, itkash takrovet avodat kochavim lemet. Because how do we know that Yayin Nesech has a deen of a mit? So we learn a hekesh, not from Yayin Nesech, we learn it from Tekrovet Avodah Zarah. That's in the Korban that the Goyim bring to Avodah Zarah. That's called Zevhe Metim. We learn from over there that the Zevah that they bring to the Avodah Zarah has a deen of a mit. So the source is from actually meat, from the korbanot. From there we learn yayin as a din of their meat. And therefore the source of the halakha is a foodstuff. And if it was since by foodstuff the shiur is a kezayit, and that's the source of this halakha, so therefore they kept the shiur even by yayin as a shiur of a kezayit. That's what the Tosafot understands it as well. Comes the...
There's some to show you all that kezayit and revi'it are the same thing, but revi'it shek nikrash...
Oh, so Tosafot points that out. Tosafot points that out. He holds actually that when the revi'it is nikrash, he holds it's a less of a shi'ur. So that's why he says that you have to go to the answer that he said that you're learning from the foodstuff of basar, which is called zefhemeti. Okay, comes the Gemara continues and says, second type of wine. We go to the Amud Rishon. Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam is the wine that we're talking about of the Gezerav Hazav. You don't know what was done to it. Stam Yenam of the Goyim. You didn't see them pour it to the Avodah Zarah, but the rabbis put a Gezerah on it, that it's a Sur Bahana'ah. Maybe that it was used for Nesech. So the Gemara says, Sur Bahana'ah. That's Mitam Gezerah Rashi. So Mishum Gezerah Yayin Nesech. But now we're at Umetameh. Tum'at Mashkin Barbi'id. It's Metameh, the law of Tum'at Mashkin Barbi'id. What is this Tum'at Mashkin? So Rashi says, Metameh Tum'at Ochlin U'mashkin Ketorat Mashkin Ketorat Mashkin Tum'at Sheretz She'eno Metameh Adam Ve'kedim Ela Ochlin U'mashkin. Which means there's a difference between what a mashke is able to be mitameh, or to, let's say, what we learned, a met can be mitameh. Met is mitameh everything. That's avi avot ha-tum'ah, that's mitameh, adam, kelim, ochli, that's mitameh everything. However, tum'at mashkim, like something that was touched by a sheretz, let's say sheretz touched a beverage, let's say. So the sheretz that touches a beverage, the beverage becomes a rishon, the tum'ah, and the Rishon, the Tum'ah, is Metameh Ochlim U'mashkim. It's not Metameh Adam Ve'kelim, but it's Metameh Ochlim U'mashkim. So they're saying, Yayin Stam Yenam has a deen of what? Subhanah, that's clear. But also it has a deen, according to Rashi, that if a Sheretz touched it, so therefore it's going to metameh other food stuff as long as it has a shiur of a revi'it. That's the way that she is understanding it. Now the Tosafot over here has a question. Tosafot's question on the bottom over here, he says, if you look at the Tosafot, Pirush, letameh ochlin umashkin, kmi metameh ochlin umashkin, foodstuff, ketorat mashkin temim, shenitmehu besheretz, sheno metameh adam vekelim, ele ochlin mashkin, vishur kibul tumah b'reviyit, and it's a reviyit, that's a shiur, like the regular law over there. Kechol tumat mashkin, ad kan lashono, kontas, mashma metok lashono, she'en listam yenam tumah, ela entem kibel tumah memakom acher. From Rashi, it's mashma, that the stam yenam is only going to exude tum'ah if it indeed became tameh from a sheretz. If you look at Rashi on the top, Rashi said, "Ketorat mashkin tum'at sheretz she'enu metameh adam v'kelim." Meaning, if a sheretz touched this stam yenam, it's going to exude tum'ah. So Tosfot says, "What's the difference between this and everything else? Every liquid that's touched by a sheretz becomes a rishon to metameh ochlin umashkin." Was a sheet of big chidush over? Ah, stam yenam. You should know if a sheretz touches it, it has the din of rishon netuma. Every beverage is like that. Stam yenam is no different, and that's Tosfot's question. Because the ma chidush uzeh l'shanot kan tuma min a sheretz v'chi garam eshan mashkim. Is it worse than other beverages? Umiya miya ika l'shenuy dashmeina demeshum chumrayu lo mikavle tuma b'fon b'reviyit. You would have thought that maybe since Stam Yenam is Hamur, maybe it'll exude Tumah even less than a Devi'it. That's why Chidush of the Gemara. That even though it's Stam Yenam, still the Shi'ur remains, like everything else, by Tumat Mashkin, that's got to be the Shi'ur of a Devi'it. The Chidush of the Gemara, according to the Tosafot, at least the way he's explaining that, she isn't the Shi'ur. You would have thought maybe even less than the V'it Tameh because of the stringency of it. Kamashma, no. It takes on the regular law of the V'it. But again, that's a difficult thing to say because again, what's the difference in there between Stam Yenam? It's not a Chumrah by Stam Yenam. It's the same deen as everything else. Tosfot rejects this opinion of Rashi and he argues at the end of Tosfot, he says, we're talking about over here that Stam Yenam on its own exudes Tumah, even without it becoming Tameh from an actual Sheretz. Oh, now we understand the Nafka Minah between that and a regular Mashkim. Regular Mashkim is not Tameh unless a Sheretz touched it. But Stam Yenam on its own has become Tameh. Just like we said, Yayin Nesech, Stam has a deen of Tumat Met. Stam Yenam on its own has a deen of Rishon Tumah as of a Sheretz touched. Now we get to the third type of wine. Third type of wine is a mafkid yeno etzel oved kochavim. Okay, guy gives his wine to the oved kochavim. He gives his wine to the goy, the pikadon, to watch. Asur b'shtiya. Oh, so he cannot drink it. Once he gives it to the goy, you're not allowed to drink it. Umutar b'hana. However, the Gemara says, it's mutar to have hana from it. It's mashma that what? That we're not concerned, if you give the wine to the goy, it's like it's a quasi-concern to you. To drink it, we're not going to let you. But to have hana'a from it, we will let you. Now, the question is, what is the goy doing with your wine? Is he going to put it for nesech? If he puts it for nesech, so the chavrat should be asur, b'hana'a as well. The Gemara asks a similar question. We have another Mishnah that says like this, ha'mafkid perotav etzel ovet chim. You gave, let's say, your fruit to the goy to watch. Now he gives you back the sack of fruit. Harein keperotav shel oved kochavim leshvi'it ulma'aser. Now you have to suspect that maybe he switched your fruit, and now you have to treat them like the laws of shemitah fruit of a goy that gave you fruit, and now you cannot have whatever the restrictions of shemitah is, and also the laws of ma'aser, which means you gave the guy fruit that was 100% legal. Now he gives it to you back. Now you have to suspect maybe he switched his fruit with fruit that belongs to the Shevi'it, and now you have new laws on you. So what do you see over here? That the goy is definitely suspicious of switching the goods. So the chavra, when it comes to the wine also, why wouldn't you give him the wine? So you come along and say, well, listen, well, you can't drink it, but it's mutar b'ana'a. Why should it be mutar b'ana'a? If he suspected of switching, so maybe he switched your wine and he put yayin nesach instead, the chavra should be asur. So Gemara says, "Kegon shi'ehed lo keren zavit." Oh, He designated, when you gave it to the goy, he designated a special spot in the house of the goy, in the corner, where you're going to keep the wine. That she says further, Umasalo Mafteyah. Oh, and the goy gave the Jew a key. So therefore, we're not suspected that the goy now is going to come and forge and make a new key and break into the place over there and switch the wine. So that's why you don't have to worry. So hey, if you have a Yehud Makom and the Jew has a key and you don't suspect anything, it should be permissible to drink it. What do you tell her? Drinking, you still can't drink it. But it's okay. So Gemara says, Yachim b'shtiyana milish to the, it should be permissible to drink as well. Dehar Rabbi Yohanan ikla leparvad. Rabbi Yohanan got to a place called Parvad Amar. Klum yesh mishnat bar kapara. Got to the place of Parvad. This is where bar kapara used to live. So he says, anybody have any statements that you heard from the great rabbi Bar Kapara? Anybody have any chiddushim from the rabbi? Tana de Rav Tanhum de Mid Parvad. So it was a rabbi called Rav Tanhum. He came from Parvad. He says, I have something that Bar Kapara taught. Hamafkid, you know, etzel ovet kochavim. A guy gives his wine to a goy as a pikadon, mutar bishtiya. You can actually drink it. So you see clearly, and we're talking about similar, the same case. You gave the wine to the goy, he put it in a special spot, he gave the Jew a key. And what do you see over here? You don't have to go so far to say that the goy now is going to come and forge the key and open it up. It's too much. So you see clearly it's mutar. Anyway, when the rabbi heard this, when the Yohanan heard this statement from Bar Kapara, he got all excited. Kari Alei said, Makom Shiyipol Ha'etz Sham Yehu. Literally, in the place where the tree falls, that's where he is. The Etz is referring to over here as a euphemism to a Tamir Chacham. In a place where there's a tree, referring to Bar Kapara, that's where you're going to find him. So Gemara's mashma that what? That Bar Kapara, you'll find him in this town. And Bar Kapara was not in the town. Bar Kapara passed away, right? So Gemara says, Sham Yehu, Salka Dadad. What do you mean, Sham Yehu? He's not there. He passed away. He says, Sham Yehu Pirutav. That's where you'll see the fruit. Where you have the tree, you'll see the fruit. Which is in a city where Big Tamir Hakam lived. So even though he's not there anymore, but the Totsa'ot, the consequences of that big rabbi, will still be felt in the city. Because the Talmidim will still carry the teachings of that great rabbi. So the place where there's a tree, Sham Yehu, and rest assured, the fruit of that great Tamir Hakam will still be manifest. So why? Because when he went to the city, hey, anybody have any statements of Bar Kapara? Sure enough, the rabbi gets up and says, oh yeah, I have something that Bar Kapara told you. See that? You're still feeling the after effects of Bar Kapara. You're not here anymore. But Sham Yehu, you see his benefits. But what do you see over here? You see clearly from the statement of Bar Kapara, you give wine to a goy, you're allowed to drink it. Now you tell me before, you give wine to the goy, even though you have a key and all that, you still can't drink it. So how do we reconcile? So Gemara says, there's a machloket on this. Amar Bizera. La kashya, there's no question. Ha Rabbi Elazar, ha Rabbanan. Oh, machloket between Rabbi Elazar actually and Rabbanan. The Tanya, echad alokeyah, a guy buys one. Ve'echad buys a place. Ve'echad socher bayit behasero shel oved kochavim. Our case, you rented a spot in the Hatzer of a goy, umaluhu yayin, and he filled it up with wine, umafteyach o chotam biyad Yisrael, and the Jew has the key, or he has the chotam, which is the seal. Rabbi Eliezer matir v'achamim osrim. So you see clearly, Rabbi Eliezer holds that once you go and you rent the spot by the goy's house, and you're putting your kosher wine over there, and you have Yehud Makom, a designated place, and the goy locks it up and gives you the key, according to the Bidi Ezer, mutar, not only b'hana'a, mutar b'shtiya. Oh, so therefore, but we went over the asud b'shtiya. Oh, that's going according to the shita of the Hakamim that argue. So comes out, we have an argument over here. Now, the Hakamim have a quasi-shita. They say, well, listen, we're not going to let you drink it because you have to suspect that maybe the goy switched it. But since you do have a key, and that is a remote possibility since you have the key, so we're not going to osed it b'hana'ah. So the rabbis went in the middle. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is what we're talking about. You have the key, then we may hide makom. You do not have to suspect that the goy is going to come now, make a new key, open it up, take out the one, switch it, and therefore he says mutar b'shtiyah, and indeed it is mutar b'hana'ah. This is the machloket between Hachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Chiya. Bered Rabbi Chiya ba Nachmani Amar of Chazda Amar Rav. V'amri la Amar of Chazda Amar Zehiri. V'amri la Amar of Chazda Amar the Abba Bar Chama. Achi Amar Zehiri. Halacha. Kerebi Eli Ezer. That so long as you have Yehud Makom. You have Yehud Makom. A designated place. And the wine has a seal on it. The wine has a chotam, like the she said. And the Jew has the key, so then it's mutar b'shtiyah, and it is indeed mutar b'hana'ah. The Rishonim over here have a question. It's mashma over here that what? That so long as you have a chotam, one seal, and again we said the Jew is holding on to the key, so therefore it's going to be enough. However, we learned above on daf chavtet that what? That when you give the goy yayin mevushal, oh, that's cooked wine, or you give the goy chometz, you don't need a double seal. You don't need a double smashma, you don't need a double seal by yayin mevushal. So make a diyuk. Only because yayin mevushal is less. The goyim don't usually use yayin mevushal for their avodah zarah. Mashma, but regular wine, you would need a chotam, betoch chotam. And over here we say halakha could it be the ayezid that when you give the goy wine, chotam is enough. One seal is enough. We don't suspect that the goy is going to undo the seal and change it and all that stuff. Make up your mind. Do you need two seals or do you need one seal? This is the question of the Rishonim. Halakha could it be the ayezid? Tosfot discusses that. Tosfot discusses Rabbi Eliezer. Look at the Tosfot. Velo peligi. Ha Rabbi Eliezer v'ha Rabbanan. You'll see he discusses that that subject. How do we posek like Rabbi Eliezer? That one. Yes, before reading. Look at the look at the first Tosfot. We have the first Tosfot. What's the answer to this question? So Tosfot says like this. Tosfot says, according to Rashi, that the Gemara is talking about the yayin that was nifkad to the goy, and the Jew's going to take it back. So therefore, he's going to recognize his seal because he gave it to him. He's going to get it back. So therefore, if you gave him with a seal, then he knows what it's going to look like. So one seal is going to be enough. Now, of course, the guy's scared to forge it because he knows he's going to get it back, and the Jew's going to say, "Hey, you tainted it." However, the Gemara above over there was talking about that he said that sending wine to his friend with a goy, now the friend has no idea what the seal looks like because he never saw the seal. Oh, in that case, we're going to say you need a chotam b'toch chotam, because to the guy that put the seal and the guy that's going to check the seals, two different people. So therefore, that's one understanding that you have to be more careful to put a double seal. According to Rashi, however, Rashi learned above that case was also talking about a pikadon. So the Chaura, if it was talking about a pikadon, it's like just like this case over here. So therefore, we could say a difference over here is that both cases are pikadon. So why in one case that she's mashma pikadon you need double seal? This Gemara's pikadon you need one seal. So we could say a simple difference. Like that she pointed out over here that Yehud Makom and you have a key. Over there it's talking about where you didn't have Yehud Makom. Where he's just giving the goy the wine to watch. Hey, he's putting it in his cabinet. You have no control, no safety features. Okay, double seal. Over here, it's much better. Here, the guy's giving you the vault, and he's giving you the key. So the key plus the chotam, that'll be enough. So that's another way we can answer.
Well, Yeah, Walter is like a very, he's holding the keys. It takes difficult for the guy to forge a key and to undo the seal. That's like undoing two seals, and therefore that's the way we're going to say according to Rashi. That's the two understandings. That's the way that Tosfot understands as well. Yeah, but look at the way Rashi says that she learns over here in the Dibura Matril. Right, actually, that she says, like you said, "Umasalo mafteach or asa chotam." It's much either or. He gave him a key, or he made a chotam. Right, so you have to say the Yichud Makom is the answer, the designation of place. Over there was no designation of place. Over there was just Sam, here's the wine, watch it for me. Where are you putting it? You're putting wherever you're going to put it. He gave him a specific area. And then you have a key. There was no key. Finished. That's a simple answer. There was no key. Here is a key. It's more difficult for the goy to play around. So therefore, one safety feature like that is going to be enough. But in the case over there, it's time to pick another. It's time to pick another. You got to have a chotam betor chotam. Now the Gemara has to discuss what makes a chotam betor chotam. What makes these? What makes the seal a seal? So Gemara comes along and says. Oh, we have versions here. First, we have to go to the version. How can it be there? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Mishtamer Bechotam Echad. Any product, by the way, that you give to the goy, Chotam Echad is going to be enough. One seal will be significant. Chutz Minayayin, except for one. Why? I'm more strict. She'en Mishtamer Bechotam Echad. One seal is not enough. The Rabbi Yohanan Amar, no. Afilu yain mishtamer bechotam echad. So machloket. Can you get away with one seal by wine or not? Vela pedigi. Can it be the ayazir? Ha kerabanan. Which means they're talking two different opinions here. According to the ayazir, we'll be lenient that what? One seal is enough, like we just learned. And according to the other sheet that it says one seal is not enough, it's going to the rabbis. Ikad amre amar bil azar hakol mishtamer bechotam betoch chotam. Oh, on other products that you get to the goy to watch, you need a double seal. Chutz menayayin she'en mishtamer bechotam betoch chotam. And wine, even a double seal won't work. So according to this version, the rabbis are being strict by wine that nothing helps. ורבי יוחנן אמר אפילו יין משתמר בחותם בתוך חותם ותרוויו כרבנן. Which is both שיטות over here explaining the rabbi's opinion. מור סבר כי פליגי רבנן לרבי יעזר בחותם אחד אבל בחותם בתוך חותם שערו ומור סבר אפילו חותם בתוך חותם עשי. Which means according to this version the machloket is according to רבי יעזר for sure one חותם is enough. The questions according to רבנן. One shita will say, oh, you need two chotamot, and one shita will say, no, according to the rabbis, it's going to be the ayazir, nothing is good. Even if you have 10 chotamot, it's not going to work. So the question is, according to this version, how far the hachamim argued against the bidi ayazir. Heki dame chotam betor chotam. Okay, I get him against the logistics. What is considered a double seal? Amarava, agna de puba de habita, Shirika v'hatima have chotam betoch chotam. Deila la. Let's see. Agna apuma dehabita. Kafa mizrak api habit. You put like a plate, let's say, over the barrel. You turn the plate over the head of the barrel. Shirika tach betit. And you put the cement, the tar, the dibek sevivot piya mizrak miftabit. So you attached it with tar to the barrel. So that's going to be considered a chotam betoch chotam. Okay, I mean you put like a seal of tar around it. So that's considered a double. The teat is considered like a chotam itself, and the and you put like the tar. You covered it. Put tar, and you put like a seal on the tar, like letters or whatever it may be, and therefore that itself serves as a second chotam. You covered it, and you put a chotam, meaning a tar to tighten to keep the cover on it, and in the tar you put like a siman, and that's considered a double seal, and therefore to be quite as she thought that, or in the cases where you need a double seal, that would be considered okay. Kabbalah says, dikula, you have a dikula is like a basket. mehadik and it's tight, havi chotam betoch chotam. Lo mehadik, if it's not tight, lo havi chotam betoch chotam. What is that case? So that she says, mehadik, dikula. Kafa sal al pi habit. Take a basket and stick it on top of the barrel. The habit megufa, the hainu, bet chotamot megufa the habit, shedebuka be habit. So you put again the migufa, you put the seal on the barrel, and you put this covering, this basket on top of it, and it's attached. Umehadik nechnas bedohak piasal lebloa et habit, which you just stuck this in tight. So now, besides the seal, you're clogging up the top of the barrel with this basket, which is very difficult to pull out because it's very tight. So between the seal and the basket that's in tight, that's considered a double seal. But if it's not mehadek, if it's not tight, it's easy for the goy to just pull it out. So therefore, it's not considered chotam betor chotam. Nod bidiskiya. Hatimat piv lemata havi chotam betor chotam. Piv lemata lo havi chotam betor chotam. Okay, nod. You have like a jug of leather that's filled with wine, and you tie it. You tie the jug, and you put it in a diskia. That's like a bigger leather pouch. So it's a pouch within a pouch. You tie the pouch of wine, stick it in a bigger bag, and you tie the outer pouch as well. It's going to make a difference, but depends. Not be diskia hadimat piv lemata. If let's say you turn the inner pouch upside down, that the knot is facing down, havi chotam betor chotam. Not a goy has to trouble himself to open it up and turn it upside down and open it up and put it back the way. Well, that's too much of a tirhah for the goy to do. Again, because it's upside down inside the diskia. However, piv lemata lo havi chotam betor chotam. But if it's all facing up in the same direction, that's not considered chotam betor chotam. We're considered that the goy will do it. As she says, the tarach, havi chotam betor chotam, the tarach lafok ulatir kesher diskiya vekesher anu v'lachzor kesher kulai lo tarach. He has to untie both things, turn it upside down, put it back in. That's too much for the goy to do. But if it's all facing the same direction, it is not chotam betor chotam. V'chi chayir pume legev v'tsayir v'hatim havi chotam betor chotam nashi. חייב פומה של נוד לגיב בצייר וחתם כי אין שקושים נודות שלנו של שמן שלאחר שקושים אותו. Let's say they made the knot around the leather jug. מכניסים פי הנוד כשהוא קשור בתוכו. What do they do? Then they stick it, they pull it in, they push it in. So they got to pull it out in order to untie it. They make the knot, they stick it in. ועוד קושים אותה פעם אחרת. And then they make another knot. So it's like a double knot that they made on it. So you're making a certain knot that's a trouble to open up. You tie it, and they stick it in, and they make another knot. So he's got to untie it, pull it out, and untie the second knot. That's already too troublesome. That's considered a chotam betoch chotam. Tanu rabbanan. But Ishonai Yomrin originally used to say, Yayin shil en kushi asur. Certain place called En Kushi. You get wine from En Kushi, wine is no good. Why? Mepenet birat srika. Because there was a place of Goyim that lived next to this. This place was a Jewish town. But next to this Jewish town, there was a place called birat srika, where there was Goyim over there. And the concern was that the Goyim are going to touch the wine of the Jews over there. And therefore, you have a problem. Veshel Barketa Asur, in the place of Barketa, also is going to be Asur. Why? Because that was the city of Kutim. Mepene Kefar Parshae, because of the Goy city next to it. Veshel Zagdud Asur, Mepene Kfar Shalim. So again, all these places, they wanted to all save the wine because it was in proximity of a Goy town, and maybe the wine was touched by the Goyim. Hazul Amar, they came out because they made a compromise. They said like this. Habiyot petuchot asurot. He said, if the barrels are opened, open barrels forbidden. Stumot mutarot. So originally it sounds like they wanted to say everything is asur. And they came along and said, oh, we'll make a difference between open barrels and closed barrels. What happened? What did you think of the Abamina? Now what do you think? What did you change? מיקרא סבור אין קוטים מקפיד על מגע עובד כוכבים לא השנה פתוחות ולא השנה סתומות. These are Kuti towns. Kutis are converts.
But we know that they were quasi-converts and they didn't follow all the laws properly. So originally the Havamina, we said, oh, these school team, you can't trust them. I don't care, sealed barrels, open barrels. If they're living next to the Goyim, they're going to let the Goyim touch them and they're going to become tainted. So that's why we wanted to say originally, you can't buy wine, you can't drink wine from this place next to the Goyim towns. I would be so, but at the end we said like this, Sabur, Kilo Kapita Pituchot. When the Kuti doesn't care about the Goyim touching his wine, when the barrels are open. Astumot, Makpid, Kapid. But on the closed barrel, he is Makpid. Why? Because business is business. The Kuti knows on the closed barrels, he has a customer. Who's his customer? The religious Jew. And I know the religious Jew doesn't like, won't drink it if the Goyim touched it. On the open barrels, that's for his personal consumption, that's for his own family. He's not Makpid on that. So, open barrels, you go to a Kuti's house that lives next to the Goyim, you can't drink from his open barrels. But the sealed barrels, Mr. Mai did it for selling purposes, and therefore you could assume that he's careful, because he wants to have a good reputation in the market, that he'll be able to sell it. Now granted, every closed barrel at one point was an open barrel. It's got to start off as an open barrel. That those four just points out. But again, when it was open, the guy's coming out was to seal it, to sell it. So he's going to be careful even at the stage when it was open. So Gemara says, Ustumot mutarot. Indeed, are you telling me that the sealed barrels, is it permissible? It would mean we have a contradiction and we go to Amud Be'ed. Hasholeya chavit shel yayin biyad kuti. You send a barrel of wine in the hands of a kuti. Kol sheken Rashi says biyad ovde kochavim, meaning Rashi, tzarich hakalat chotam. Vafapi de kuti eno menasech miulo kapid amaga ovde kochavim. The questions are right there. You're sending goy a kuti with wine. It says what? Got to put a seal on it. It's a sealed barrel. Now, we're not worried about a kuti doing nayin nesek. He doesn't do avodah zarah with the wine. I'm not worried about that. But I am worried that he's going to allow the goyim to touch it. What are you talking? You just told me sealed barrels of wine. The kuti is not suspected on that. Now you tell me you send a barrel of wine with a kuti. Make sure you got a seal on it. So we have to make sure that it's sealed. Now, the Gebaras is another case. Veshil tzir. Seed is, let's say, the brine of the fish. Vishel muryas. It's another type of fish. Biyad oved kochavim. If you're sending that through a goy, also you need to seal it. Im makir chotamo vesatmo mutar. Im lav asur. Only if you recognize the seal, the original seal that you put onto it, and its closure, that is mutar. Now, what's the issue of the fish over here? What do they do with the fish? Fish brine. What are they going to put in the fish brine? It's fish brine. So that she says, v'shil tziru mures ma'david chukavim, sanik hakarat chotam. You need to recognize your seal when you send it through them. Why? Tzir afagav delam urhal mirmeh behamra. Now, you're not going to put wine, the goy's not going to empty out fish brine and put wine in it. For the simple reason that the wine is more expensive than the fish brine. So why should he take something that's cheaper and substitute it with something that is more expensive? So then what am I worried about? He says, that's what you're worried about. He'll switch it with non-kosher fish brine. That's the concern, which is what could be cheaper. Not only that, umuryas, hayshinan aidi didme muryas yekarim midme yayin. Muryas is expensive, and more expensive even than wine. So in the muryas, the concern is what? That he's going to switch it for wine. And therefore, when you send these two items through a goy, you got to make sure that you have a seal on, and you got to recognize when he gives it back to you, you got to look at the seal, make sure it was untainted, and make sure it was not forged, it was not taken into counterfeited. Oh, so come to Gemara and says, the difference between
tzir and murias, by the way, is the murias has the innards of the fish inside of it, where the tzir is just more of the brine itself. That's the way that she says. Murias ma'arvim bo kirbe dagim. They put the innards of the fish in it as well. By the way, we steer out here. You just told me kutim, sealed barrels, nothing to worry about. I have nothing to worry about. Why you tell me if I send a kakuti with a sealed barrel, I got to make sure there's a chotam on it. I got to check the chotam when I get it back to make sure it's not tainted. So Yara says, "Amar bizera lakasha kan be'ir kan bederech." It all depends where you are. That she says, "Be'ir in the city, kapit kutis barashana gavet chavim beyena velos bini miyani." In the city where he's selling the wine, then he's makpid. Then you don't got to worry about having a seal on it. Of course, the Jew's going to come to buy it, the religious Jew, and he's worried that if it gets touched, so he's not going to buy it. However, on the road he's not careful. This is on the road. He's sending the goy, the kuti on the derech. Only the city where he's selling the wine he's worried about. But kifla to be in miya, midi anak di'ir lo bederech atu. So I'm sorry to tell you, every wine that's in the city, how to get to the city? Got to the city through the derech. It wasn't born in the city. It was. It came from the derech. It came from outside, from the road. And the kuti put it on the road. So therefore, and you're telling me now that on the road you need a chotam. And in the city you don't. But what do you mean? But every wine in the city was on the road. How did he get into the city? So it was Ela Amara Birmiya. Ben Agitot Sheninu. We're talking about over here Ben Agitot. That's the time of the gitot, of the pressing, the time that they, of the market where they sell the wine, during the pressing season. That what? Since everybody's around at that time in the wine market, everybody's walking around in the derachim, they don't want to see, they're buying wine at that time, so mirtat. Then the kuti is scared, because what's going to happen? The religious Jew's going to find out that somebody touched his wine, so he's extra careful during the gitot, during the season of the pressing, to be careful. But other than that season, where nobody's watching him, so then already you got to put a year. So there's no difference. Really, there's no difference between the city and the road. All this is the time of year. Ben Agitot, at the time of the pressing, there's a lot of customers around, a lot of people around. The kuti's extra meticulous because he doesn't want to get caught and he let a goy touch his wine. And other times of the year when there's not too many people around, he is less careful, and therefore you need to put a chotam and you got to double check him. So Gemara says itmar. Amar hashta. I'll continue. Avke mirta. Amar. He says hashta ihazeli. If the Jew's going to see what I'm doing, if I let the guy touch it, mafseduli, it's going to cause me a loss. They're not going to buy from me. That goes on to a new thing. Till now we learned Yayin Nisich. We learned Stam Yenam. We learned in the Mishnah, which the Gemara didn't go into yet, Givinot Akum, the cheeses of the Goyim. That's fine. Now the Gemara throws it as if we know this from somewhere. How come you're not allowed to drink the Shechar, the beer of the Goyim? This is not wine. Tosfot doesn't even know where this comes from. That she Tosfot says, but the ma asur shechar isur shechar lo matzinu lo be mishnah velo be baraita. The shema b'mei amoraim asur. Could be this is something that came later, because when we learned in the mishnah, clearly said yayin, givinot, we'll see shemen. But here you see now a new item. You can't even go. So you're talking about according to this over here, what we have a new law. You can't drink beer of the Goyim, beer that was brewed by the Goyim, you tell me you cannot drink? Well, we'll have to see exactly the reasons, and then Tosfos can explain me the ramifications of what's permissible and what's forbidden. Well, what's the reasons first? Gemara gives two reasons. Rabbi Ben Hama Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Mishum Hatnut. Marriage. What happens? You come to drink with the Goyim, you get close to them, you socialize with them, they have a daughter, and now they're coming to marry them. So this is an item that causes closeness. No, they don't want you to socialize with the goyim. Shum hatnut. Rav Nachman Amar Mishum Gilui. Another reason. The way they make the beer, they leave it uncovered. What are we worried about? Snake poison. It was, wait. Agiluye demai. At what stage of the making of the beer are they uncovering it that you're worried about a snake coming in? Idema agiluye dinazyata. Maybe in the beginning, when they're making, they're putting the hops in and all the water and all that. At that point,
in the beginning of the process, l'shishas nazyatam be'ochah shechan begigit, where it's still in its original barrel, ananami maglinan. We also keep it uncovered. There's no suspicion at that point over there. It's too strong that snakes don't go in at that point. If you're worried about uncovered, then you shouldn't be able to drink Jewish beer either, because we also keep it uncovered at that point. The ela, the habita, must be talking about after they put it in the barrels. Well, guess what? Ananami maglinan. We also leave it uncovered in the barrels. So therefore, if you're going to sit a body goyim, you got to sit our wine, our beer as well. No, we're talking about a place where they filter the water, which means before they, in certain places, they used to leave water in a pitcher for 2-3 days, in order to let the water settle. To get to make it so that the water is cloudy. So in order to make the water clear, they leave it in a keli for a couple of days. So in those places where they filter the water and they leave the water in a keli for a few days, in those cases they make gilui. And therefore you cannot drink the water or the beer of the goyim because of the places where they're going to filter the water. Gemara says, Ela me'ata. Oh, that's the reason. The reason is gilui. So according to that, yashan tishtiri. So then old beer should be okay if it's aged. Why should it be permissible? That she says a rule to us. Kol davar gilui sheshu oto ad shenet yashen mutar de'en maniho eres na'ash li yashen imayabetoko. We have a rule. If there was venom of a snake in it, it will not age. So according to this, aged beer of the goyim should be permissible. Because if it aged, you know there's no snake in there. So Gemara says, "Damar Yashan Mutar, En Maniho Liyashin." Right, because the snake venom will not let it age. So if it's aged, it's okay. Hichmitz Mutar. Similarly, if let's say the wine turned into vinegar, also Mutar. Why? En Maniho Lachmitz. Because if there was venom of a snake in there, it would not let it turn into vinegar. And she says, "Ichmitz mutar yain migito hadash galil." Let's see, new fresh wine that was uncovered. Ad shelo ichmitz, right? And then the ichmitz became vinegared. Mutar v'edo shol shabot shatabu nachash the idu shatabu nachash lo yamani chol ichmitz. So Gemara says, "Oh, so according to this, why then? If you tell me it's because of gilui." So then old should be permissible. Gemara says, Gizera yashan atu hadash. It's Gizera. If we let you drink the old beer, you might come to drink the new one, and therefore the rabbis made a Gizera. Now, we have to see the ramifications again. So from this Gemara until this point, sounds like you go to the store, you cannot buy a beer from the goyim now. If you go with the hatnut reason. And if you go with the gilui reason, you have to ask how they make it. So the Gemara says, "La papa mafikin le la ababa da hanuta." He would buy beer from the goyim, but he wouldn't drink it in their store. He would drink it outside the store. Oh, so he's understanding the isur is what hatnut. So hatnut is only when you're drinking it in their establishment. He didn't drink it in the bar. He took it outside. He drank it outside. Rabbi was more machmir. He didn't drink it until he took it home. Outside of the establishment was not enough for him. He had to actually take it to his house. Both obviously are learning the reasons because of marriage. He made an extra arhaka. Not only did he not drink it in the establishment, but he was machmir not to drink it only in his house. Ikla le marguvan. He got to a place, a Jewish place. Aitu le hamra. They brought him wine, Jewish wine. What could be the problem with it? Velo ishte. He didn't drink. Aitu le shikra. Now they brought him a beer. Velo ishte. Now bishlama hamra mishum shimsa. I understand what they're worried about. This place over here, there was suspicion of yayin nesech. Good. So that's why he didn't want to drink in this town. However, shikra mishumai. What do you remember? Beer you don't pour on the mizbeach. Hatnut, you don't have an issue. They're Jewish. So what did he drink their beer for? It says, mishum shimsa. The shimsa. Because of a gezerah. Yeah, if I'm going to drink their beer, the people are going to think that it's okay to drink their wine. So therefore, he was ma'amid on himself not to do that. Amar Rav. Okay.
Why, what do you have to say that reason for? We said before because of Chazals.
They were Jewish.
Well,
Bar-Givah was a Jewish town.
So it was a chashad of Yair Nesek.
Right. They were not machpir on Yair Nesek. These guys. Okay. Yair Nesek is a problem, but Shechar is not Yair Nesek. But Shechar. Ah, it's about the atu. Rabbi's drinking the beer. Ah, drink the beer. Why is with that also? So everybody was the people that gives it on himself. Hamza Gevan says, Rashi says, by the way, Lemar Gevan Yisrael, Hashudim Hayu, Velo Hayu Makpidim Al Yenam Shel Avdei Kochavim. Those Jewish people that weren't careful on Yahin Nesek. Gevan tells one more episode. Amar Rav, Hai Shechra De Arma'a. Okay, non-Jewish beer. Shari, okay, drink it, no problem. Oh, however, v'chiya beri lo nishtim mine. But for my son Chaya, he shouldn't drink from it. Everybody can drink from it, but my son Chaya can't drink from it. So Gemara says, ma nafshach, I shari l'kul alma shari. If it's permissible, it's permissible to everybody. I asir l'kul alma asir. If it's asur, it's asur to everybody. What is this business? Ela rav svar mishum giluya. Rav holds the reason that a beer is because of they leave it uncovered, so the issue is the snake. Ve'azir marva dechshuta ve'kalile. And what happens? The hops that are in the beer, they're strong, and eventually it weakens the venom, which means the venom is going to become weakened as a result of the hops. That she says, the azal marva dechshuta. That's bitter. Ta'am medirut shel kshut ve'kalile leziara. Leziara is the poison. Ve'em bo koach lehalkot adam bari. A healthy guy can handle it. It's not going to kill the guy. So it says, "V'dalkem malkele tfe," and it will not. Rashi says, "Adam shuchole." However, dalke, somebody that's sick, he'll get sick from this. So it means, if a guy's nature is a weak nature, this beer will get him. But a healthy person, the constitution of this beer is not going to bother him. And what? Since my son Hiya is weak in his nature, he has a sick nature, lo nishte mina mina, he shouldn't drink it. So she's really, the beer is permissible because of the snakes. Why? Because really, the snakes, they're not going to damage it so much. Because the sharpness of the hops is going to weaken it. That's for a healthy person. But my son Hiya, he's weak going in. So even a little poison in the beer is going to affect him. Now the question is, what is the deen over here? Oh, you tell me it's forbidden to drink the beer of the goyim. Now if you tell me the reason is hatnut, so you're going to tell me what? If a person goes to a goy's house, whatever it may be, he offers a prayer, have a Budweiser. Can he drink it? Or can he drink it? If you say gilui, let's say we're not worried about gilui. We're worried about hatnut, and that's really the halakha. The halakha is suspicious about hatnut. So this is hatnut. That's what says, V'tarvay v'shum hatnut revacha v'darkei tera'u mikol makom. Shenehem lo yu shotim bebet ovet kuchavim. Both rabbis didn't drink in the house of the goy. One drank outside and one took the beer home. V'im ken sarich lizaher, shelo l'shtot shechar bebet ovet kochavim. For maybe you can't drink shechar in the house of the goy. De'ar rav papa v'rav hashiyu batzraeli with the later rabbis lo yushotim. Umihu, however, ha'metachsen bebet ovet kochavim. The guy is in the house of a goy. He's a guest. Yachol liyot shemutar l'shloach be'ir l'knot shechar mena ovet kochavim de'avi kemo bebeto shel Yisrael. Which means, if he's drinking in the house of the goy, if he's paying for it, so could be it's considered like the Jewish, it's like his, it's his house, as if to say, like he's drinking in his own house. But if the goy is your guest, so then you can give the goy beer to drink, because otherwise it's going to cause eva. It's going to cause tension between the goyim. De lo asu mishum chatnut. It is the key line of the thought. Ela likpoa shtiya bechatnut o berigilut lishtot bebet ovdei kochavim. Aklai be'alma shari. It means, if it's done on a permanent basis, on a standard basis, then it's asur. But be'akrai, where it happens from time to time, where it's not on a standard situation, it's mutar. The poskim discuss not only shechah, but what about the drink of the town? It would be permissible to go to drink coffee amongst the goyim. The Darkei Teshuvah brings it down in the Pesukim. They say, no, they were only mahmir on shechah, which is more of a intoxicating, or something that can lead to these things. But coffee is more of a casual drink. It's not even though everybody drinks it, and that would not lead to a chatos. So to go to a cafe, assuming everything is kasher, you have issues of bishul akum and all that, so it could be the poskim will be more lenient on that. But again, when it comes to this, is going to a bar, which we wouldn't go to a bar anyway, but there are people that think they can go to a bar of the goyim and sit with them. I'm not drinking the wine. I mean, a kosher Budweiser, a beer that's kosher. This would be asur, especially if he's doing it on a permanent basis. That can lead to he goes after work every day to the bar to drink a beer with them. So from this gemara, you see it's a problem. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.